This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, and I am joined, as always, by the cheerful Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
Sean, I'm excellent today. How are you doing?
Well, to be fair, I'm on drugs right now.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot, Sean.
Oh, no, that's the type of drugs, Micah. Feeling under the weather, and so I took some medicine this morning. I'm feeling a little fuzzy right now, so if anyone complains about the podcast, you're going to realize that, well, Sean's on drugs.
Fine.
But the good news is I actually have a special treat for everyone because we have my good friend, great thought leader, overall generally awesome guy, Eric Inga from Stone Temple. And I have, yeah, I know. And the good news is I wasn't on drugs when I was interviewing him because I was at PubCon Austin. I had my recorder with me and I knew I wanted to get Eric in person on a recording device so we could share it with our audience. Now, for those of you that don't know who Eric Inga is, trust me, he is literally, I want to call him like the professor of content marketing. He's so smart, but he's smart not just on a theory standpoint. He actually uses all of this, much like CopyBlogger does, to promote his own business. So he's also doing, beyond that, the research out there. If you've heard of Stone Temple, it may be because of all of the research that reports do out there. So I am just hugely excited that he's here, that we were able to get him actually to record for the show. And I think it's going to be one of our best interviews to date simply because of the amount of awesome, awesome insight Eric has.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes.
As always, and of course, if you've been listening to the show, you know what I'm about to say next. I want you to pull out your phone and send a text message to 41411. With a keyword, MyLink, MYLINK, no spaces. Don't let it autocorrect for you. If you're international, outside of the U.S., just send an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm. Now, why should you do that? Because when you subscribe to 41411 with the keyword, MyLink, we are going to send you a link directly to a private LinkedIn discussion group. And Micah, what is in that discussion group?
A lot of information that you can use right now to use for your LinkedIn promotion, your LinkedIn profile, your LinkedIn. We're even putting some information about the images that you can put in or how to write headlines for the posts that are in LinkedIn. So everything that in addition to what we're doing on the podcast, you can get other resources that will benefit your LinkedIn journey.
It's almost like free consulting, isn't it, Micah? It's almost like here's everything you need to be successful in marketing on LinkedIn in one private place.
Yep. And I've seen some of your answers, Sean, and they are thorough and in-depth. And so I invite all of the listeners who are already in there to ask any questions you can. So it's all going to help everybody in the community.
So everyone take a moment to go ahead and do that. And when we come back from the break, we are going to have an awesome, awesome interview with my good friend, thought leader, entrepreneur extraordinaire, Eric Inga, right after this.
Podcasting is a great way to build your online authority, but the key to success is to publish online, and the Rainmaker platform makes that easy. Rainmaker is the complete online marketing solution that makes it easy and simple to execute your online marketing strategy. So whether you need a design, landing page, or a simple way to publish your own podcast, Rainmaker is the solution for you. So head on over to rainmaker.fm/platform right now and sign up for your free 14-day trial. Because this is the same tool that we use to publish The Missing Link. And if Sean and I can use it, then so can you.
If you don't know who Eric is, you're on a freaking other planet. Eric has been in this community for quite some time. His marketing is beyond compare, and this guy knows his stuff. So without further ado, my good friend and brilliant thought leader in our space, Mr. Eric Inga. Eric, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm going to try to come somewhere near living up to the way you've introduced me now. Well, that'll be my challenge for the show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, because quite frankly, you're all over the place. And so I figured you must know something. I see you all over between your videos and the blog posts and everything else. So,
sure.
You know, you may not know what you're talking about, but boy, it seems like you do. So
but I'm talking about it a lot. So.
You're talking about it a lot. Exactly. So, Eric, go ahead and bring our listeners a little bit up on your background. Certainly, I know it, but what is it that made you kind of get into the space? And really, you know, what is Stone Temple out there to be doing?
Well, I've been an engineer by background for the longest time. And somewhere along the way, I learned that I had the ability to talk and explain things. And that very quickly got me into careers that's really kind of comparable to SEO, my early days, right? You know, helping run businesses, sell technology things. And that fits really well with SEO, okay, because you're constantly explaining things and you're having to help people understand difficult technical concepts, you know, business people,
right.
C-suite people, trying to get them to understand these difficult technical concepts. And, you know, if you're the kind of person that can help them understand and simplify it so that they can take action on it, then, you know, you're in a good spot to be in the SEO industry. So that's how I got here. You know, Stone Temple Consulting, you know, it's a digital marketing agency, content marketing, SEO, social media. We help people, you know, get more traffic and more business from that traffic on their websites.
And I would highly recommend, if you have not read The Art of SEO, quite frankly, Eric, before I ever met you in person, which was at PubCon, by the way, I remember that in Vegas, but I totally remember getting that book. I was like thrilled to death to read it. And then when I got a chance to meet you, I was like, oh my God, now I can get all the behind the scenes stuff. And it turns out you put everything in the book.
There you go. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
So. Third edition comes out in July.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, absolutely. Highly, highly recommend that anyone who's listening buy The Art of SEO, third edition, out in July. So now I want to get into the nuts of this because, quite frankly, let me tell you what I've been hearing. I ask people, you know, what do you think about LinkedIn? Is LinkedIn good for this? Is LinkedIn, you know, better for that, et cetera? And I want to tell you, quite frankly, Eric, I'm hearing a lot more negative sometimes than I am positive about LinkedIn. Sure, it's known as the job board, right? It's the fancy job board. That's what everybody thinks. But yet, if you look at the numbers, how many more people are on LinkedIn than Twitter, let's say, yet Twitter gets all the play, right? LinkedIn is still, by all the metrics, still bigger than Twitter, and yet it gets nothing of the attention. And I think in the online marketing space, I think we're starting to notice, we've always known about it, but we're noticing it. And you're doing some things on there, so I want to talk to you. What is it that you're doing? What is your thinking behind it? Why are you doing it? Kind of give us a little bit of the background to why you're spending your very valuable time on LinkedIn.
Sure. Well, to be fair, as I told you before, we're, you know, in early stages, but I'm going to tell you what we see in it and why I think it's really important. First of all, you know, you have the other social networks, right? You have Facebook, which, of course, they've taken away so much of that organic visibility from brands, so much so that Copyblogger dropped it, right? Very, very interesting and great move for you guys. Not that you can't do things with Facebook. You can. But and then you have Twitter, which, you know, is the soundbite capital of the world, if you will. I mean, you know, it's 140 characters, and of course, you got to make it 120 so someone might be able to retweet it. It keeps getting shorter and shorter. And yeah, you can do some useful things on Twitter, but it's a little bit watered down, too. Right? So then the next thing that you got to do is you got to think about, well, all right, can I do better by jumping in on some niche, I prefer the French style pronunciation, social networks, right? And yeah, I mean, LinkedIn is big in terms of total volume,
right?
But if you look at it as its use as a social media site, it's actually a niche network, right? And from my perspective, our early experiments make me think that it works really well as a B2B kind of environment where I can get to decision makers with less noise around that communication than I can on the other social networks.
So let's talk about the experiments, because if there's anything that Stone Temple is known for is the amount of pure research, statistical data research that you do across a number of mediums, both in SEO and content marketing, et cetera. So talk. Let's before we get into the results, let's talk about the things that you guys are experimenting with right now.
Sure. So you mean on LinkedIn specifically?
On LinkedIn, yes.
Yeah. So
I would hope so. That's what the show is about, Eric.
Well, you know, we have our studies that
we
do.
That's right.
And then so there's two areas that we're, well, three areas, actually, that we've experimented with. One is a LinkedIn publisher. All right. And that actually works pretty well. And it's a good way to build an organic following.
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about some people get into this stuff and they get discouraged by trying to do something with LinkedIn. It's a long effort. Mm-hmm. Don't go in and think that overnight you're going to have this great success on LinkedIn. You have an opportunity on LinkedIn to build a powerful, focused, organic following through LinkedIn Publisher is one method. Which means writing full blogs, post size posts on LinkedIn, 500 word, 700 word, 1200 word posts, mm-hmm. half a dozen images, just like you would on anything on your own blog. And if you're lucky, then they'll Spotlight, mm-hmm. where they actually start showing it to broader audiences.
Right, part of the Pulse Network, they get it out there.
And if you publish on a regular basis and you publish good content, you pretty much, after maybe a dozen or so articles, can start to get in there every time, and you get broader distribution.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Well, what that means is that based on the channels they define within LinkedIn, you're getting exposure to focused, higher-level audiences that are interested in your content. You're getting in front of new eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing that in a way that's different than any of the other mechanisms.
So let's go into the publisher feature, because I think there is a lot of unique things about that. And I noticed that you and Mark Traphagen do a lot in there, and mm-hmm. I see some experiments. Question comes up all the time. Can I take an existing blog post that has been out there and put it into the publisher feed? And if so, what are the benefits? If not, why not?
So, technically speaking, you can. I'm not a fan.
Okay, why?
All right, because to me, it's like any time you have an opportunity to get in front of an audience, I don't care what that audience is, if you don't tailor what you're doing to that audience, it's just a mistake.
Okay.
First of all, I'm all about repurposing is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying don't repurpose, but if you're going to take that post verbatim and drop it in there, it is going to come back on you at some point. It's just my opinion. I know other people who are doing it. LinkedIn doesn't tactically prevent you from doing it, although I think their terms of service discourage it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to do it. But physically, you can do it, and it works.
What about the strategy of taking an existing post, cutting it up, and so that to read the rest of the post or to get the further information, it's a call to action, if you will. So here's a componentized, summarized, or even an actual two-thirds of it with the remaining third, the real meat of it, back mm-hmm. on your site. What about that as a strategy?
Yeah, or, absolutely. You can do something like that. I'd still like to somewhat customize that. But
tailor it to the vehicle.
Right. But I think you get a stronger response on from my experience with Publisher when you put a full-on post in there.
Gotcha.
Not that you can't use it to drive traffic the way you just described, Sean, to your posts by other means, because you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But from my perspective, you're going to get a lot better spread within the LinkedIn Publisher system if it's fresh, original content.
Okay.
And that's been borne out from our experiments with it so far.
Okay.
And look, we all know any social media network is a rented audience.
Right.
But it's a rent-to-own world. Okay?
Love that. Rent-to-own.
Use those rented audiences as a way to capture and build your own audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to have in your mind wherever you are in your... you're on Facebook, you're on Google+, you're on Twitter, you're writing a guest post column for somebody, speaking at a conference. Those are all borrowed audiences,
mm-hmm.
and they're all about building your audience.
Great point.
Always back to your audience.
So what else besides Publisher are you guys looking at or thinking about experimenting with?
Well, something I know that you guys do quite well, actually, is groups,
mm-hmm.
right? And pulling together a group, very powerful. Okay, because once you start building your own group, you have the ability to communicate with that group on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And It's a semi-rented audience,
right?
Right? Because it's your group on LinkedIn, right? Right? And you're running that thing, and you have the opportunity to do it. As always, when you do these things, though, you have to be very mindful. Okay, I've got this group. What am I doing to make sure that this particular rented audience is not engaging with me only here,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming through and seeing things? And there's lots of payoffs to this. It's important to understand how many levels of interaction there are here. You might have someone you first meet in a LinkedIn group, then you know they see you speak at a conference, and then they see an article you publish somewhere else, and it's only after all three of those things happen
right.
before they're ready to become a customer, or just simply retweet your article. I went to a fourth platform now.
Right.
You know, this is the way the world works.
Sure,
now, right?
Sure. And so, I think there's a lot to the LinkedIn discussion groups. I mean, that has probably been, you know, my personal favorite out of all of LinkedIn is because of that email capability. We know that open rates on LinkedIn emails are much higher because it's coming from LinkedIn, not from you. And the discussion group allows you to send them out there. But
let's expand on that a second, because I want your listeners to be clear about what you just said. It is both a LinkedIn claim and a fact that a LinkedIn email, as they call it, has a higher open rate than a regular email.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even true if it's unsolicited. And LinkedIn does have a feature where you can pay to send a small number. They don't give you a large number. I think it's 10, 20, 50 are the numbers of unsolicited emails per month. And if you have somebody that you've really got to reach, like a power influencer or a media person, a potential buyer at a large customer, and you can be very thoughtful about the way you do it, your chances of getting that unsolicited communication open is far greater than if you do it by email.
Right.
You know, and that's a hidden little gem in LinkedIn that few people are getting. Again, LinkedIn doesn't allow you to do it to hundreds of people a month. They don't. And you do have to pay for that privilege. But we do use that on a selective basis. And it's true. They get read.
In the discussion group, though, what I'm speaking of is in the discussion group, there is a broadcast feature in there.
Understood.
And again, you're right about context, because if you start spamming people when they're hitting a discussion group every 4 days, they're not going to stay around. They certainly are not going to open it. I mean, they're certainly the rules of engaged marketing, of personalized marketing is certainly applicable. And I think, but in a broad sense, the limit of the one-to-one, if you will, versus the one-to-many that you get from the discussion group. That's the only way in LinkedIn, actually. You can broadcast to more than 50 people at a time. Even your own email to your own contacts is limited to 50 people at a time.
Right.
So let's talk about some other things that you're looking at or potentially maybe experimenting with. So we talked about publisher. We talked a little bit about groups. What are some of the other things you're seeing that you'd like to play around with?
So done experimentation with the ads.
And
I'm not wowed by the ads.
You know, I've heard that a lot. Why? I want to know why you're not. It's too expensive, not target enough, no
expensive
reach.
Is definitely one of them.
Okay.
I compare it to what I can do with Facebook ads, Twitter ads.
Sure.
YouTube ads, all cheaper.
Right.
All right. And it's not like LinkedIn gives me fundamentally superior targeting in return for that.
Okay.
So we've done some tests, and, you know, I can't say we've spent millions of dollars at this, but we've spent, you know, tens of thousands across different platforms. And I get a much lower cost per effective action, which might be as simple as I just want someone to come see my post.
Right.
Okay.
You get a lower cost than other networks, not LinkedIn. LinkedIn's
then,
a very high cost
right.
for the action.
Okay. Yeah, and didn't get any data out of all this that convinced me that they were higher quality actions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So not been wowed by that part of it.
By the ad portion. What about sponsored updates, ability or sponsoring content up? You guys thinking about that at all?
I'm including that in what we've tested. Yeah,
gotcha.
It's all been... we're continuing to experiment with it. I have to believe that LinkedIn is going to get better at this because I don't think that we're the only ones who are thinking this. Because we'd spend some more money on it.
You know?
I mean, given everything else I've said about LinkedIn, if I could use that process of spending money there to grow that audience on the platform,
right.
I'd put some money into that.
Sure. And I think that's the tough part because it is expensive. That's what I hear routinely from marketers. It's very expensive. The idea being that I'm paying more for higher targeted quality traffic, right? Mm-hmm. But as you indicated from your test so far, that hasn't been there. It's much more higher cost per action to get them to engage through. And certainly, you're right. There's probably ways they can fix that thing. Are you listening, LinkedIn? Fix it. Damn it. That's what the show is about. We also want LinkedIn to kind of listen and do some new things because I do think there are other ways they could make it better for online marketers that the marketers would be willing to pay for. No question about it. What are some of the other things you think that may be interesting that they're working on that maybe as an online marketer you'll keep on the radar screen?
Well, I do want to go back to another aspect of groups for a second.
Sure.
Because I think we talked about it in the context of being a group owner.
Right.
But you don't have to be the group owner to get value out of groups.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
And one thing you can do is just participating in groups
can
be very useful, particularly if you get known as an active participant. And that can actually really help you because if you start building those relationships within a group just as a participant and you're doing stuff on Publisher, right, then you can get in a spot where people are promoting your stuff in the group.
Nice.
Okay, which increases the chances that it will get actually put in spotlight by LinkedIn. And
nice. So let me just recap what you said. It's basically by participating in other groups that are aligned with the interest area and then maybe putting valuable content from the things that you put on Publisher into those groups, it's a symbiotic relationship, if you will, between keeping them in the ecosystem and, again, building that authority and that rapport.
Well, and get it driving likes and comments and views to that post.
Right.
Right? Which is what, helps it spread.
Absolutely. Right? You know, it's funny because I do notice that topics that are LinkedIn-specific, business, for instance, always will do well in LinkedIn, right? But if I talk about cats, God, Facebook and shares are going to be out the roof, right? So what are some of the other things? I mean, is LinkedIn just a B2B network in your opinion? I mean, in other words, I know of a story where a hotel brand targeted salespeople, so a consumer-oriented play, highly focused on traveling salespeople to make them offers, right? And I think the ads have to be very creative and very understanding of who the hell is there. But I also wonder, is it just B2B? I mean, at the end of the day, is it just about a business selling to another business? Is that really LinkedIn's role?
I've not done any experimentation on that one, and it's a good question as to how that could work. I would bet in the right scenarios it can work, but I don't have any really good data on that one.
And I think that's going to be tough because if I'm I'm a high-end brand of some sort, right, a Rolex, let's say, the beauty of LinkedIn is that there are people that have money on there because they have jobs, right? So, I mean, do you envision a day where that's possible? I'm not saying they're doing it now, but is it conceivable that it migrates more to B2C over time, or is it really just going to be primarily in that B2B space?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people on LinkedIn,
right? Over 330 million.
Yeah, 330 million people.
Yeah.
Okay, that is 330 million consumers.
Right.
All right, they might be CEOs, they might be, admin assistants.
Sure.
That whole spectrum, they all have jobs, so to speak, or looking for them, and that's fine. But they are all consumers.
Yes.
There's got to be a way to leverage that. But even the example you gave of the hotel chain targeting traveling salespeople, again, there was a very specific professional focus. And I think probably the easiest way to leverage it right now is to understand those verticals like that.
And plus knowing that the cost is so high. I mean, I think that's the point that you're not going to try to sell them a $10 widget, right? I mean, you're going to have to sell a premium to justify the high cost, which, you have said and lots of marketers said, I want to do more on LinkedIn, but damn it, the costs are just so damn high for the individual that I'm getting compared to other channels where I could be spending my dollars.
Right.
So. Yeah. I can totally see that, and I appreciate that because, again, would you say overall that LinkedIn is a emerging on the online marketing radar screen? I mean, it's been around forever, for God knows, but do you think it's emerging now? Do you think more people are paying attention to it, or is it still just going to be niche, to use your French terminology, on this thing?
Well, we'll call it niche.
Niche. Okay, there you go. Good, we got niche.
So I think the word use of the word niche is a niche thing in my experience.
Oh, very clever.
But in any case, I think their journey in this is just beginning.
Okay.
They've taken some clear steps to try and open up themselves as a broader social media network, mm-hmm. right? They've got 330 million warm bodies. You know, there's a lot of hay you can make with that, and I think they're probably working quite hard to figure out what steps to take forward on that. Because you know, their journey, they have to be very careful about it, because they can't lose mm-hmm. their core of what they're about in the process, mm-hmm. right? So they could water themselves down and say, okay, let's just like try to be another Facebook,
right?
And then you'd leave them too,
right? Exactly.
You know, they could do that, but that. You know, if they lose their differentiation,
right.
then they'll lose their way completely. So from what I see, and I don't have inside information on this, but just, it seems to me like they're being very careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like they keep taking these steps, right? Mm-hmm. And I really think you're going to see more of that. You know, like every other public company, they've got to show a growth path, right?
That's right.
You know, we're 330 million, that's nice. Okay, when we get into half?
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, all anybody wants to know, right? That's what the investors want to know.
True.
And how are you going to up your revenue per, you know, per person? And
so you do think there's more of an emergence onto LinkedIn. We're going to be talking more. It's definitely, it's kind of where if you're going to be experimenting, it's a damn good place to start experimenting.
Well, it is. And when you have a, sorry, I'm going back to my way of saying it, niche play like this. Right, just like Instagram, mm-hmm. you can make a similar argument for Instagram, right? There are really specific opportunities that are there for people who get in there before it gets crowded. And odd, you know, it's odd to say that about LinkedIn, as old as it is,
right?
But from this perspective, it's relatively new, right?
Right.
And if you really build a marketing presence there, then you can be a real leader. Right, in that space. And I know people who have built careers on social media sites by getting in early, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you two names. On Instagram, the immediate name is Sue Zimmerman, who's, you know, an Instagal, right. You know, has, you know, built a whole reputation industry-wide
mm-hmm.
just from doing Instagram. And of Stone Temple's very own Mark Traphagen, yes. Google Plus.
Yes.
Made a career for himself at Google Plus.
That's right.
The network that everybody says is dying tomorrow. All right. And isn't going to die anytime soon.
Right.
But, you know, so you can take these things. It doesn't have to be the biggest marketplace in the world.
Right.
It just needs to be you're the best one on that marketplace. Right? And you've got yourself a very nice situation. So I really think there's strong opportunities for people who want to do that for themselves on LinkedIn. And it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to do it on LinkedIn than it is going to be to jump into the Twitter quagmire. Right? Because whatever market you're in, it's crowded in Twitter.
Right.
Guaranteed. And it's not even necessarily that much bigger.
It's not bigger. It's actually smaller.
Yeah. I mean,
Twitter has less users than LinkedIn.
But it's bigger in terms of being used for this purpose, right?
Right.
So there's a really good opportunity for businesses and individuals of all kinds to make a reputation. Whether it's right for your business or not, a little bit of detail to answering that question. But
Eric, thank you so much. Really, truly appreciate your time on this. And as always, highly recommend everyone pick up The Art of SEO and absolutely check out Stone Temple's website. They always have great marketing information on there. Eric, thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
You know, every time I talk to Eric, I feel like I'm going to Stone Temple University to hear from the very famous Professor Eric. Doesn't he sound like a professor? Like the cool professor you always wanted in college, you know?
He does. The one that will answer every question perfectly every time. You can walk away and just go do what you want to do.
And he is so nice and genuine and super smart. And he's smart because he's a scientist and he talks to you like a peer, even though he is so much smarter than I am about this stuff. So Micah, what did you learn from Professor Eric there?
Yeah. Mr. Engineer knows all the things, Eric. I got three things from that. Excellent interview, by the way. The first one is, it sounds like you have to get into LinkedIn now. It has more users than Twitter, and it's one of those markets where it sounds like you just need to get in there now and start doing your magic, start doing your publishing and your profile and all the other things that we're talking about. Second thing, it sounds like, I like that you have to publish, but I love the way that you need to tailor it to your specific audience. So tailoring your posts and your publish to your audience makes perfect sense to me, especially on LinkedIn. And finally, the huge power of groups, which we know about already with our Missing Link group. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of discussions going on. We're adding promotions in there and people are getting engaged and they're getting perfect. You know, they're getting information that's helping them on their LinkedIn journey.
Absolutely. And I think the groups is so important that we have on our next show, Jabez Labrette, one of the true pioneers and experts in using LinkedIn groups to grow your business, is going to be our guest on the next one. And as Micah indicated, we absolutely have this awesome, amazing private LinkedIn discussion group where we give you tips, tactics, ideas, articles, everything that you need, including free advice and consulting on LinkedIn, about LinkedIn on LinkedIn. But the only way you can do that is what, Micah?
You pull out your phone, you dial 41411, and then you'll put in the word MyLink, MyLink, with no space in there. It will try to autocorrect. And then you'll be sent to our Missing Link group where you will find a list of promotions. You'll find fabulous discussions where people are really talking about the specifics of LinkedIn and how to do it better and how to do things differently and what the results are.
And if you're international outside the United States, just send an email to missinglink@rainmaker.fm. Cannot thank Mr. Eric Inga enough from Stone Temple Consult. It was a fantastic interview.
Thank you, Eric Inga.
Everybody, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on rainmaker.fm.